We left off on Wednesday discussing the... We left off on Wednesday discussing the major machlokes of Rishonim as to how to understand this principle of korel menas litfor. The Mishnah tells us that one is only chayav on Shabbos for tearing something if it's on the, with the intention of re-sewing it. The question is, how do we understand this condition? So there was some Rishonim, Rashi perhaps, and the Ramban, and others, who interpreted the condition kipshuto. It's an absolute necessity, similar to the Mishkan, and if the Malach is not performed under these circumstances with the express intent to re-sew, that would not be a Nesedir Aisa. And other Rishonim, such as the Rambam, who seem to understand now that the requirement of Amaras Litfor is not necessary for the Etzem and Malach, not for the for an integral part of the malacha, but rather there's a general rule called kol makalch l'patur, and if you do things in a destructive manner on Shabbos, it cannot possibly be a deraisa. So therefore, amanas litfor is an example of a constructive positive outcome. But if you could somehow substitute that positive outcome for another positive outcome, that would also be chayev. So it would be a big enough kabin ladino. Let's say a person rips something, and he has a very, very positive reason why he's ripping something. He's accomplishing a tremendous amount. The only thing is, he's not planning on reselling it. Would that be a nisa deraisa now? So according to the first group of Rishonim, no, that as long as it's not literally amanas litfor, it would be lacking in the very basic definition of the malacha. According to the Rambam, as long as it's positive, it would be chayev. So the Mishnah Bura was very, very convincing that there really is no such absolute requirement of amanas litfor. Mishnah Bura's raya, he was ready, predated by Rabbi Kivega, already saw this as a raya. Was the Gemara Masechah Shabbos that discusses a person doing kriya on Shabbos. A person tears a clothing on behalf of the mitzvah of kriya, his relative died, and he tears kriya on Shabbos, which of course he's not supposed to do. So the Gemara says that that may be an issa deraisa, to tear kriya. So the Mishnah Berurah said, you're not planning on reselling that. But the opposite is true, you're not even allowed to resell it. Sometimes you tear kriya for a parent, you have to throw the garment down, you're not allowed to resell it. So comes the Mishnah Berurah and says, even though you're not reselling it, and you're still chayav, how could you be chayav? If you hold that amanas litfor is an absolute requirement without any exceptions to the rule, here you're clearly not re-sewing it. So it must be a raya brua, it must be an absolute proof for the Rambam Shita that re-sewing is not critical. Re-sewing is an example of a tikkun, of something constructive. And if you can substitute that somehow for some other constructive purpose, that would also be chayav. So even though we spoke a little bit about the chayodom, possibly we could refute that raya, we're going to go for now with the assumption that this is a pretty solid raya. We're going to have to be machmir in the Shabbos. We're going to have to assume that just because it's not amanas litfor, that in of itself is not enough to convince us that we're not dealing with a deraisa. So again, there is a machlokes Rishonim about it. The evidence seems to be pointing in the direction of the Shittas Rambam. There are ways perhaps to get out of this raya, but again, we're going to leave it as a machlokes Rishonim and we'll note a little bit, like the Mishnah Berurah, to be machmir in the Shabbos. But we have to take a look at some other examples of Kareya, or perhaps lack thereof of Kareya, and see how other statements in Shas seem to fit into this general question about just how serious we take Amanas Litfor. So one of the sugyas is a sugya that appears in Maseches Beitza. It's only about like three words in the Gemara, so we'll be moichel on the Maram Kermis on this one. But the Gemara is discussing a person wants to rip something on Yontif, to rip a little piece of paper on Yom Tov in order to wrap up around the food in order to help roast or to cook up that food. Obviously, we know that cooking and roasting, preparing food, to a certain degree is permissible on Yom Tov, but there are other activities that one is not permitted to do even on Yom Tov. So the Mishnah speaks about cutting a piece of paper to wrap around the food in order to enable the cooking and the roasting process to be done more effectively. So the Mishnah says you're not allowed to do that. Why are you not allowed to do that? So the Gemara says, because when you cut the piece of paper, so you're cutting it in such a way that you're making it almost into a kli. It used to be just a big piece of paper. Now you're cutting it into a container. You're cutting it into something that's a specific shape in such a way that's now going to be useful. So it's nira kimasakin kli. It gives off the impression like you're doing makam patish or bonus something. It looks like you're building something, you're constructing something, you're fixing something, which would be a problem even on Yom Tov. Even though it's being done for the purposes of Ochel Nefesh, not everything on Yom Tov is permissible for Ochel Nefesh, particularly something that could have been done from beforehand. So the same way that you're not allowed to build an oven on Yom Tov, so you're not allowed to make this quote-unquote utensil, quote-unquote this clay, in order to enhance your cooking on Yom Tov. So the only malacha that the Gemara seems to pick on is the malacha makam patish, either on a deraisa level or a bottom level, but there's a malacha that's clearly missing from this discussion, and that's the malacha of Kareya. How come Kareya doesn't, is it mentioned in the sugya? How come the Gemara doesn't pick on the fact that we should prohibit the cutting of this piece of paper? I guess probably the most modern day equivalent would be like cutting a piece of aluminum foil or something. You want to cut a piece of aluminum foil, you'll shape it into a little bit of a container or something. So the Gemara says you can't do that, but not for the reasons of Kareya. What happened to the Malach of Kareya? So this has to be analyzed in light of everything we've been talking about up until now. So according to those Rishonim will say that Kareya is only violated if it's Amanas lit for literally, and we understand full well why Kareya isn't mentioned here. When you cut a piece of aluminum foil off in order to wrap it around your chicken and throw it into the oven, you are most probably not going to reattach it to the aluminum foil. Therefore, it's obvious that we're not dealing with an Amanas lit for. So according to those Rishonim, the Rashi, the Ramban, the Ritva, those Rishonim who insisted on Amanas lit for as being an integral part of the Malacha, it is obvious that Amanas lit for is not relevant here, and therefore Kareya isn't mentioned at all. That's why the Gemara had to go fishing for another reason of Machmir Patish, the Rices, the Rabbanit, etc. But Amanas lit for, the lack of Amanas lit for, undermines the very application of the Malacha. But according to the Shittas HaRambam, who says that Amanas lit for isn't all that important, all that matters is it should be something that's positive. This is very positive. I now have my piece of aluminum foil. I now have my piece of paper in order to wrap around my food. So what happened to the Malach of Kareya? According to the Rambam, as long as I'm doing Kareya for a positive purpose, it's automatically an Issa Deraisa of Kareya. What's the Gemara Pilpling about? Is this called Machmir Patish, Nachol Machmir Patish, Deraisa, Derabana? It looks like it does. It's Asa Ben Atar anyway because of the Malach of Kareya. So this question led the Mishnah Berurah, because let's not forget the Mishnah Berurah, I don't mean in a negative way, no Gebedov, but the Mishnah Berurah wants to defend the Shittas HaRambam, because the Mishnah Berurah thinks in his heart of hearts that the Rambam is correct because of the raya from the Kareya Al-Meso. So the Mishnah Berurah is looking at this Gemara and says, Beit, and asking himself, what happened to the Malach of Kareya? How come it doesn't make its mention over here? So to defend the Shittas HaRambam, the Mishnah Berurah comes up with a whole new insight into the Malach of Kareya. That's the Mishnah Berurah. Normal Kareya, going back like to Kareya of the Mishkan, or even the Rambam's Kareya of the person who has the two pieces of paper that are stuck together. Normal Kareya means I'm ripping something for the purpose of using both parts of what I'm ripping. Either because in classic Kareya, I'm ripping the cloth because I'm going to re-sew the piece of cloth in a more effective way. Or in the case of a person who has two pieces of paper that are glued together, so he wants to now separate them because he wants to be able to write on both pieces of paper. Or the person who has his two pieces of leather that are stuck together, he wants to separate between them because he wants to have now two pieces of leather. The goal of Kareya, at least the normal goal of Kareya, is usually I have two things that are combined together. My goal is to separate them because I want to use both parts. Either I want to reattach both parts or I want to use both parts separately, whatever the positive purpose is. But the goal-oriented is to use both parts of what I'm ripping. Says the Bi'alacha, what if a person, rather than ripping two things apart in order to use both parts, is literally ripping one thing from another? Means I have no intent of using one of these things. I want to separate A from B, and my entire intent is only to use A. What's going to be with B? I have no idea. I'm going to use an acronym. I'm not thinking about B right now. My goal is just to get A off of B. Says the Bi'al Lacha. Who says that's called the Malach of Kareya? He has a raya, an interesting raya from a sugi maseches Baikotin about tearing kriya for Avelus. Vayikra em l'shnei kriyim. It's a whole pasuk from Sefer Malachim about what the definition of the word kriya means. So the Bi'al Lacha suggests this very, very big chiddush in the Malach of Kareya that even though we don't really need Amanas Lidfor, that's according to the Rambam, that's not the name of the game, Amanas Lidfor. Positive purpose is the name of the game, but positive purpose is defined as being a dual purpose in the sense of that I want both rip piece X and rip piece Y. If I just wanted to get X off of Y, maybe that's bechlal, a different kind of a malacha. Maybe it's machmir patish, maybe it's something else, but Kareya is not necessarily going to be.
So, like a bottle cap that you open up, would that be Kareya when you separate the perforated pieces?
So maybe, according to Bialach, that wouldn't be correct because I'm only taking one piece off of the other. Maybe other malachas involved. Maybe you have to look at the Machmir Patish. Right, so this is the interesting insight of the Mishnah Berurah. This could potentially be very, very helpful in terms of the malach of Kareya. So says the Bialach that perhaps that's the reason why the Gemara says Beitza doesn't go down the route of Kareya. The Gemara is talking about ripping a piece of paper, so I have a big piece of aluminum foil, I don't want a big piece of aluminum foil. I want to wrap a small piece of aluminum foil around my one piece of chicken. It's going to be very klutzy to take the whole roll and wrap it around my chicken. So I want to take off one of the pieces, a little piece of aluminum foil, and rip it off of the roll. So says the Bi'al Locha, my goal is nothing to do with the roll. My goal was to get this one piece. So I'm not being kareya. I'm not ripping apart a garment in order to restitch both parts of the garment. I'm not ripping apart two pieces of paper that are stuck together in order to use both of them. My goal is only to get a small piece of aluminum foil. What happens to the rest of aluminum foil? Says the Bi'al Locha, maybe that's not considered to be the Malach of Kareya altogether. So you see the Bi'al Locha is searching, he's looking, because he really, really wants to defend this Rambam, because he's really, really convinced that the Rambam is right, that Amanas lit for is not really necessary. So I call upon him, everybody has to somehow explain away this Gemara Maseches Beitzah, what happened to Kareya. Either you can explain it based on the Rashi and the Ramban and the Ritva, those Rishonim who say that seem to say that you need literally Amanas lit for. If you go down the root of the Mishnah Berurah and the Rambam, that Amanas lit for is not a necessity, then you have to come up with some other Hagdor, some other reason to limit the Malach of Kareya. Another very important application of this discussion, probably the most important Lamaisa for us, is a statement in the Tosefta. The Tosefta, again, is not part of the Gemara itself, but the Tosefta was written by the Tanoim, and it's even those Toseftas, very often the Tosefta is quoted in the Gemara proper, but even those Dinim in the Tosefta don't make it into the Gemara itself, unless we have some strong reason to believe that the Amoraim didn't accept that Tosefta, will generally be accepted lahalacha. So there is a Tosefta that of all people, the Mishnah Berurah quotes lahalacha, where the Tosefta says that Korin es ha'ormi alachovis. If a person has a barrel of wine, and covering over the barrel of wine is a piece of leather, a piece of animal skin, was used to keep the wine protected and keep it safe. So now a person wants to get to that wine on Shabbos. So how do you get the wine? How do you get the leather off? So apparently the leather was connected on to the barrel of wine. So the Tosefta says, no big deal. Just cut it through. Take a knife and cut through the leather. Kornes Ormi Alachafis, rip off the leather and get yourself to your wine. You can drink your wine on Shabbos. That's what it says in the Tosefta. So the question is obvious. What happened to the Malach of Kareya? How am I allowed to rip? It says Korin is Orm. Kareya, it's a bad word. Korin is Orm Yalachavis. How could you rip off the leather of the skin, off the top of the barrel of wine? What happened to the Malach of Kareya? Now, true, for most of us, we don't have leather skins on our barrels of wine, but we have a lot of equivalents of that. Sometimes we have foil on top of our barrels. Sometimes we have containers of yogurt that have foil on top of them. We have a lot of things that are potentially the equivalents of Kornes or Ormi Alachavis. So it really behooves us to understand why there should be mutter. What happened to the Malacha of Kareya? But the Ebbets says when we hopefully we'll get down the line, I can't say what year of what we're going to get to this, assuming we continue in our pace, but when we speak about the Malachas of Baka Bepatish, the Malachas of Bona, way down the line, so that's, of course, those are the primary Malachas, Baka Bepatish, Bona, and Soser, are really the Malachas that we focus on when you talk about opening cans and bags and packages, things of that nature. But every once in a while, you have to always ask yourself another question, namely, what happened to Kareya? How can I go ahead and rip something? Isn't that a Malach of Kareya? So the Tosefta says it's mutter, and the question, of course, is why. So comes the Mishnah Berurah, makes a simple chesed. If you hold, like those Rishonim who say that Amanas Litfor is absolutely critical, and in the absence of Amanas Litfor, then there's nothing to discuss. Then it's obvious. Nothing to talk about. When I rip the leather off the top of the barrel, I'm not particularly interested in re-sewing it back together. I'm not going to reconnect it. I want to get it off and finish and done, throw it out. So that automatically is not subject to the Malacha of Kareya. So if you would go down that route of the Rashi and the Rabban and the Ritva that Amanas Litfor is so critical, then I can begin to understand why, in the absence of Amanas Litfor, there's nothing to discuss. But again, the Mishnah Berurah is the last one who wants to go down that route. He has problems with the Gemara about Kareya al-Meisel, and he's not even sure that Rashi even held that way. So he's not a big believer in this Shita of Amanas Litfor being so critical. If you go with the approach of the Rambam, that Amanas Litfor is not really ma'akim, it's not necessary to violate the Malacha, then we have a problem. So then according to the Rambam, you can have Kareya d'Oraisa, as long as you're doing something good, you're doing something that's positive. One could argue, maybe this is positive. Now this gets a little bit tricky because it's positive in the long run because you want to drink your wine. On the other hand, it's negative vis-a-vis the leather because the leather is now going to be destroyed. So that's already a very, very docus question. That's a very fine question. Where do you draw the line? What's called mekalkin? What's called mesakin? But one thing I can tell you for sure, according to the Rambam, you cannot hide behind amanas litfo. You can't tell me a story that, well, it's not amanas litfo, so therefore everything's okay. So why should this be okay?
There's no use for the item. So, right. Rabbi, I'm not sure.
So you want to tell it's called Bekalkel. I mean, according to Rambam, it's called Bekalkel. So again, that's what I'm trying to avoid, that this particular shayla, because this is a general Mekalkel shayla. If a Mekalkel vis-a-vis the Etzem Heftza, so to speak, but I have a really good, positive goal. So my goal is to drink the wine inside the barrel. So it's not classic, but classic Mekalkel means I go ahead and I take a piece of, pick a shirt and rip into pieces for no reason. I gain nothing. It's totally destructive in nature. That's called Mekalkel. But if I Mekalkel something and I have an agenda, and I have a really, really good agenda, and something positive will come out, that may be called Mesakin. That's part of the Sugya of Karel al-Meso. The Gemara talks about, is that really called a Mekalkel? Is that called a Mesakin? On the one hand, I'm physically destroying the clothing. On the other hand, I'm accomplishing something. By now, I was yotzei in the midst of kriya.
But maybe I'm not understanding correctly. So I understand the Rambam according to those cases where there's actually a tikkun to be able to use the item. But when we're using a secondary item, ripping an envelope, getting something inside, ripping a bottle, getting inside a bottle. It's different than an aluminum foil. It's different than the shroud because we're using the actual etzem of the beged or the...
You mean using the beged for external tikkun, whereas over here, you're really not using this at all. You're really getting rid of this leather, and eventually there's going to be a tikkun saying, maybe. So I'm not sure. I hear the chilut. So again, so getting back to this, so we're still searching for why the Tosefta should be true. According to those who shown him who deny the absolute necessity for Amanas Litfar, what's wrong with Kareah? Why isn't Kareah mentioned in the Tosefta? So the Mishnah Berurah, in a long piece in the Be'alacha, quotes from one of the early Acharonim, who suggested a Teretz, and the Mishnah Berurah was vehemently opposed to this Teretz. The Teretz, first I'll tell you what the Teretz is, and I'll tell you who said the Teretz. So the Teretz is, I'll tell you why, that one. So says the Mishnah Berurah, says in the Be'alacha, that there are those who wanted to argue that the malacha of kereya only applies to two things that were connected together, such as the original kereya and the mishkan. I have two pieces of the curtain, two pieces of material that were sewn together. When I rip the stitches apart, that's called kereya. Or the Rambam's extension of kereya. The Rambam says that I have two pieces of paper that are glued together. So when I rip apart those, I separate the two pieces of paper that were glued together, that's called the malach of kereya. However, says this Achron, if I have something that's naturally one piece, and I'm ripping apart one piece that was one piece, that's not kereya. It's just bechlal not kereya. And therefore, this Achron says, there's no kereya on animal skin. Animal skin was created by the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's one unit. It was never connected together by anybody. That's not called kereya. For that matter, if you rip paper, that's also not called kereya. A throwback to that Gemara Maseches Beitza. Another reason why maybe there's no kereya in the person who's ripping the aluminum foil, ripping the paper. So says this particular Acharon, that the tzu, the malacha, the very essence of kereya, it's like, do me the mishkan. It's got to be the ripping of two things that were connected. Something that was always one unit is not even subject to kereya altogether. It's a chiddush gadol. You know, when we're little kids, we all know, you can't rip a piece of paper on Shabbos. Ripping or tearing. According to this Acharon, that's not tearing at all. If you take two pieces of paper that were glued together in the seventh, that's called tearing. You rip something, which is mitchila, one item, one unit, one chavtza, that's bechlal not called tearing. That's not called malachas kereya. The Mishnah Berurah was very, very opposed to this. He quotes Urias. If the Urias says, L'hoyud v'meyayim, quotes Shabbat, there's never such a call. No such rule whatsoever. The Chavetz Chaim wrote the Mishnah Berurah with such a subdactic and covet of other people that he didn't even want to quote this Pesach by name because he makes such an attack on such a vehement say it's against this and against that, it's against it. He didn't even want to be mentioned. No one should say anything bad about this Pesach. The Pesach who the Mishnah Berurah was referring to was none other than the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Baal HaTanya, the first Baal Mitzvah Rebbe, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Now, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav was a great, great Talmid Chacham who the Mishnah Berurah himself quotes all the time. There's barely a page that passes in the Mishnah Berurah. He doesn't make reference to the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Shulchan Aruch HaRav is referred to in the Mishnah Berurah as the Graz. The Gaon Reb Zalman. That's whenever you see the Rosh Hashanah's Graz in Mishnah Berurah, he's referring to the Shulchan Aruch Rav. So he had the utmost respect for the Shulchan Aruch Rav, but in this particular thing, he was so upset about this kula that he said that he didn't want to lead to any disrespect. So he just said Chacham Echad Omar, and he goes on to show why he thinks that Chacham Echad is not correct. So it's a big chiddush. The Shulchan Aruch Rav is really a tremendous tremendous chiddush.
Not for me to be ripping the envelope on the where it's attached.
Right, attached, right.
Instead of ripping it on the top.
Right. So what's the answer to that? Lamaise, if you reject the Shulchan Aruch Rav, so what is the potential answer? So the Chazon Ish suggests that maybe there's a whole different reading to this Tosefta. The Tosefta says that you're allowed to be Koresa or Melechovis. Maybe it's based on something else. Says the Chazon Ish, I'll give you a mashal. Says the Chazon Ish, I don't know if this was literally his mashal, but he gives similar mashal. Says the Chazon Ish, are you allowed to open up a banana on Shabbos? How can you open up a banana? You're ripping the banana peel. That's the Chazon Ish's kasha. So again, I don't know whether he focused on bananas or oranges or whatever. Yeah, you're peeling. Are you allowed to crack an egg on Shabbos? I let a crack an egg. So now, we spoke about cracking eggs and open bananas from Beirah and Dosh, but if you get around those malachas, it's mutar. When you open up an egg, you're peeling the, you're cutting through the peel, the little, the membrane-ish peel, whatever, the softer peel. You're being kereya. Why isn't that called kereya? So why is that a joke of a question? It's not a joke of a question. The question is, why are we not so concerned with this question? What's the answer to that question? Says the Chazon Ish, the answer is obvious. Says the Chazon Ish, when you have a food and you have something where the purpose is to protect the food, the halacha views the protective coatings, the surrounding item to the food, it's like bottle to the food itself. It's not considered to be a separate entity, it's not considered to be a separate chefza, it's considered to be part of the food itself. Would anybody say that you're not allowed to cut a new chumri, you're not allowed to cut an apple on Shabbos, because that's called kareya? That's litzanus. So kareya doesn't apply to food. Kareya applies to material, kareya applies to papers, kareya applies to leather. Doesn't apply to something which edible. The whole surah sabalacha doesn't apply to. We've seen this in the past. Surah malachas just don't make any sense in the context of food. There's no tzeveya ba'oichlin. Remember we spoke about there's no coloring to food according to most Rishonim. And maybe there's no memareach on food according to. Surah malachas just don't lend themselves to food. So says the Chazon Ish, kareya just doesn't make any sense. Anuchum, you can't cut your chicken on Shabbos. You can't cut your chicken. What? Kareya, you're cutting. So says the Chazon Ish, just as it's obvious that the whole tzuras of Allah, the whole essence of Allah doesn't apply in the realm of food, anything that's part of the food, even though it itself is not really edible, but its whole purpose is to protect the food, that's considered to be tof or bottle to the food. So says the Chazon Ish, I understand the banana peel, because the Ribbono Shel Olam made the banana peel to protect the food, so the banana peel is considered to be part of the food. Says the Chazon Ish, I can have a natural protection of the food, and I can have a man-made protection of the food. If I'm putting the leather skin on top of the chavash al yayin, for what purpose? To protect the food. So I'm basically making a man-made shell, making a man-made peel. So just as the Ribbono Shel Olam made a banana peel, I'm making a wine peel. So the purpose of the wine peel is to protect the wine. Just as there's no malacha of kereya on the wine, because it's food, it's not shaykh to speak about the malacha of kereya on things that protect the food. According to the Chazon Ish, according to this beer, this would be a fantastic way of avoiding the malach of kareya on packages, on bags, a bag of potato chips. So I want to open up the bag of potato chips. Again, I'm putting aside the malachas of makom patish and bain and saisa for another time, another place. I just want to know the malach of kareya. Can I open up a bag, or do I have to be concerned with kareya? So according to the Shulchan Aruch Rav, there's no kareya because it's paper, so nothing to talk about. Foil, paper, those kinds of things, there's no kareya altogether. But we don't want to go down that route. So maybe you could say, well, there's no kareya because it's not a menas to live for. We don't want to go down that route either. I have a new reason why there's no kareya. Maybe there's no kareya because the bag of potato chips is like a banana peel. It's a lach equivalent of a banana peel. Just as the banana peel is there to protect the food, so too the bag of potato chips is there to protect the potato chips. It's bottled to the food, and it's not subject b'chlal to the block of kareya. So Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted by the Shmei Shabbos Kachasa saying that it's pretty much agreed upon by everybody, just about everybody, that the malach of kareya isn't really a factor in terms of opening up packages. I didn't say mutter. You have to still work on makma patish and bain and saiser and sometimes mochek when you rip through letters. There could be a half dozen other problems in opening up packages. But says Rav Shlomo Zalman, the kareya part of opening packages probably is not such a serious concern. The reason being, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, for a few reasons. Maybe the Chazon Ish is right. Maybe those who seven us lit for are right. Then he says, and maybe the Shulchan Aruch Rav is right, even though the Mishnah Berurah said can't be involved. So Chazon says, which comes up, there are a few good reasons to explain away why opening up packages is not a problem of Korea. At the end of the day, you have to say it's mutter because of Korea, because the Tosefta says it. The Tosefta says, Karnas Ormi Alachavis. So whatever reason you're going to use, you plug in your reason. You like the Abanas lit for people, you like the Shulchan Aruch Rav, you like the Chazon, whatever kula you like, plug it into the opening up of the yogurt, the things, and opening up of the potato chips. It's very hard to answer these things based on Korea. Again, I didn't say anything's mutter yet. I just said that there's no malach of Korea. So malach of Korea, for a variety of reasons, probably doesn't apply under these circumstances. There is one other case where we have a potentially very real issue of Korea, at least according to some, and that's the question of ripping toilet paper. Is that considered to be a malach of Korea altogether? So we have to go through the different shittas. So if you hold like the Shulchan Aruch Rav, there's no Korea on paper altogether. So, okay, then it's over. Then it's mutter. Okay, we don't want to go down that route. If you're really a believer of Amanas Litfor, obviously you're not going to re-sew your toilet papers. Obviously that's not going to be an issue of Korea. But if you hold like the Mishnah Berurah and the Tia, that Korea doesn't really require Amanas Litfor. Korea can apply to one unit. Doesn't need two pieces of paper that's stuck together. They could all be Korea D'Oraisa, so maybe ripping toilet paper is Korea. Unless one falls back on some of the other svaras that the Mishnah Berurah said, maybe it's the equivalent of ripping off the aluminum foil off the roll. I don't really want the rest of the aluminum foil. The only problem is, here I do. I want this piece of toilet paper, and I want the other one also, which I'm about to rip in a second from now also. So I'm not sure that the Mishnah Berurah svar will apply. So I'm not 100% convinced that the ripping of toilet paper is not a shot of a D'Oraisa. Unclear whether the ripping of toilet paper would be a potential D'Oraisa or not. The question is, what do you do? So obviously the answer is you prepare from before and you use the tissues, so you prepare something from before. But what if a person's stuck? What if a person mamish finds themselves visiting someone's house, there's no toilet paper, mamish stuck, and they have to rip the toilet paper. So we have a rule we spoke about in the past that b'makom kaved abrias, to avoid tremendous embarrassment, a person is permitted to do what's only in a derabanan. If your mamish stuck in the corner, so you could do a derabanan to avoid kaved abrias. So I would say that if you could rip the toilet paper in such a way that wouldn't be a deraisa, then we would permit it b'shas l'chach because of concerns of kavod abrios. The question is, how do you make sure it's not a deraisa? Depends who you ask. So according to those who say abanas lit for is critical, so you don't have a deraisa. According to those who say one paper is not the korea, you don't have a deraisa. But we're not so sure any of the above was correct, was accepted in the halacha. So we're very, very nervous. We don't want to permit outright the ripping of toilet paper. Even if makom kavod abrios is shalom, it's a skilo. So you have to search for a way to make it into a derabanan. So we know there's an age-old trick. How do you turn a derais into a derabanan? Very simple. It's called kiliachayad. You do it in an abnormal fashion. Again, we're not advocating getting yourself into this kind of a pickle on Shabbos, but if a person finds himself in such a situation on Shabbos, they must rip toilet paper, I would recommend to do it kiliachayad. How do you do kiliachayad? You pull your elbows with your... You hold it down with your foot, you do it with your teeth, you figure out a way to rip the toilet paper in an abnormal fashion. That way, for sure, it can't be worse than a derabanan. A derabanan will be matter of kavod abrios. If not, if you don't do a kliyachayad, then you're potentially tampering with the deraisa. I didn't say it's for sure a deraisa. According to all those we spoke about, maybe it's not a deraisa for a variety of reasons. But we're not so convinced that we pass like any of those svaras. So therefore, the best way to do it under these unique circumstances is to make sure that you would do it in a way kliyachayad. Shlomo Zalman raises another question about the ripping of the toilet paper. Maybe it should be a different malach called mechatech. Mechatech means that you're not allowed to prepare, let's say, leather skins or other things for a very, very specific measurement called makban alamida. If I'm making a pair of shoes and I want to rip a piece of leather to a particular dimensions, that's a whole different malach, mechatech. So maybe I should have to be worried about mechatech. I'm ripping the toilet paper on the lines. So I'm ripping to a very, very specific amount. Maybe that's a different malacha legamri, but based on different rules. So Shlomo Zalman says that's not called mechatech. Because mechatech means what's called, literally, the Rambam describes makbid al hamida. I want a size of leather, this particular size. I want a piece of paper, this particular size. A guy rips three squares, four squares. Most people are not sitting and making a cheshbon exactly how big the toilet paper they're ripping is. They're ripping on the perforations because it's easier to rip. If they get three squares, four squares, then nobody's sitting and measuring. So that's not called makbid al hamida. So therefore, Rav Shlomo Zalman says it's probably not the malach of mechatech. And he says it's not kareh, it's not mechatech. If it is not kareh, it depends on everything we spoke about before. So the bottom line is that the malach of kareh is a tricky malach because there seem to be a lot of cases in Shas that for some reason are not kareh, and we have to try to figure in, plug in the details to why it should or should not be kareh. So we try to touch about all the major parts in terms of malach of kareh to see what is malach of kareh, what's not malach of kareh. Next week, we get new Maimon Kamos for the next.